prayers this afternoon as we continue looking into the Word. We're just going to pick right on up from where we left off this morning. Left off with the Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. It said, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself." Talked a little bit and read to you some writing on what it meant to know them which labor among you. And I think a summary of that really is, don't be a stranger. Don't be distant. Don't isolate yourself, because, you know, just as everybody is human, it does not despiritualize any of us to acknowledge our humanity. And there's no need really for anybody to feel like they have to have a front, to feel like that I have to guard this. You know, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I don't want the pastor or the minister to know that, you know, I'm having this temptation or I have a weakness right here that I'm struggling with. Do you recognize that God placed the pastor, He placed the minister there to be a support, to be a help with that, to pray with you, to help carry your burden? Ministers don't have all the answers. But it is about bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ to be there. But if I don't open myself up, if I choose to isolate myself from the very one that God placed in my vicinity to minister to me, there may be some victories that I will never get until I come to a place that I open myself up and I acknowledge. Because see, there's a place there that God uses. I don't have any grace. The ministry has no grace of their own strength to give. But there is a ministry of grace through the Spirit that comes from humbling ourselves and opening ourselves. And so I believe it's one of the reasons why we're encouraged. Don't be a stranger. Don't isolate yourself, but know them that labor among you in the Lord. To know them, and it said, and are over you in the Lord. And I think that we're living in a society that people don't want anybody to be over them. Do you notice it's that way with children? It's one of the signs of the time that children are more disobedient to parents. It's one of the signs of the time. Seems like something's in the air. People don't want to be submissive on the job. I have a boss. Do you know, I try to teach my children, if you're on the job and your boss says, I want it done this way, and you know a better way, there is a place to talk to them. There's a place to say, you know, have you ever thought about doing it this way, and it might save some time and money if we did it this way? But if your boss says, this is the way I want it done, who's paying your wage? Your boss is. So even if you disagree with them, you still please the boss. In other words, even if you know better, there's a place of submission. Same way with children. Come down a little closer. Same way with a wife. This scripture teaches the wives to obey their husband in most things, or if they see it the same way. Obedience is not an issue when you see it the same way, is it? Obedience is an issue when you see it differently. And again, there's a whole lot to be said to the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, but we're talking about submission now. So in a place for a wife to her husband, it's not just be submissive when you see eye to eye. It's talking about when you don't see eye to eye. That's when it's an issue. And the Lord teaches us, submit yourself. Be obedient, even if you know better than your husband does. Be submissive to it and humble yourself as to the Lord. Well, the same holds among God's people. He said to obey them that have the rule over you. Here He said to the ones that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Who here really likes admonition? Does anybody just say, oh, please admonish me? Other than Brother Cook, I don't hear very many people saying that. Brother Cook's opened the door many a time. Come talk to me if you need to. But you realize that a lot of the admonishment that the Holy Spirit does is not one-on-one. You realize that? The Lord, because we all have personal decisions to make. And the Lord is not interested in twisting our arm to try to do something. So if the minister comes and sits down and says, you need to do this and that and the other, well, you can blame him or say, I don't have to do it. That's just a person. That's his opinion. Or I don't want to do it. But a lot of what the Lord sends to us, He works through us through His Spirit on our own, but He also uses the ministry. And the Lord would much rather you get from the Holy Spirit, from behind this pulpit, the word that goes forth, rather than someone happen to come and sit you down and admonish you. And so we need to be open to admonishment. And a lot of times when admonishment comes, it's easy in a human sense to just kind of do this. Distance ourselves from it. And then we, you know, just like children don't like admonition, I don't like to give admonition. The other day I had to take care of a little problem and I didn't want to. But I loved my child enough that I had to deal with it. Do you recognize in the body of Christ it's the same way? The ministry, it's not a cakewalk, folks. And it's not easy and you say, well, now's not the time for it. When do you take care of a problem? When there's a problem. We try to teach our children to avoid problems, don't we? We try to teach them, tell the truth, don't take things you shouldn't, be respectful, do this and that. But if they violate that, there's a place of admonition. Well, the same way in amongst the body of Christ, the Lord gives them ministry to try to prepare us to keep us out of problems. That we'll be steadfast in truth and know what the Lord is. But there are times, folks, that we can get in a place that maybe we do need some admonishment. Maybe we haven't had the right attitude. Maybe we responded to things carnally. Maybe we haven't had the humility that we needed. And there's a place then for admonishment sometimes. And we live in a society that doesn't like it, but I want to encourage us to know that the Lord has placed the members in the body. He's given the ministry to us for our benefit, for our welfare. And here He said, know them that labor among you and are over you. He said, no one's over me. I'm going to be submissive to God, but how are we submissive to God if we cannot be submissive to those that God placed to be our spiritual guides? Or if we say, I'm not going to open myself to that, I've got to get it for myself, and I don't see it that way. Why did God give the ministry? It was for the perfecting of the saints. So we need to honor and esteem highly. He said, those that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Are we open to admonishment? How open are we? How open are we and say, well, it's not the time. When is the time? Have you ever considered that? If there's not a problem, why are you stirring things up? Well, aren't you wanting to get ready? If there is a problem, we know what the Lord wants of us. Or maybe if we have misbehaved a little bit, what do we do? That's why there is some admonishment sometimes. And I really believe that when we esteem and when we respect the ministry and those that God has placed, and I'm not, again, I want you all to know this message is not self-serving at all. I'd rather not give it. You understand in the flesh. But it's the Word of God. So if there's a pastor that comes behind me that this message can be a blessing to, then I'd like to do that. But if there's a place that your pastor or whoever gives some admonishment, be very careful before you distance yourself or say, well, that's them or I didn't like it or that wasn't wisdom. Or there's a reason God placed who He does in the body. There's a reason God has placed who He has. And so as a people then, we want to give respect. And if there's admonishment, maybe if I don't understand it all, I can tell the Lord that. Lord, I don't understand it. Maybe I wouldn't have done it that way, but Lord, I know You taught me to respect. Help me to respect and open my heart. And through time, sometimes we start to realize things, all of us do, that we didn't see at the moment. And if we will respect those that God has placed to minister to us, it's easier to take. But if I've got a bee in my bonnet, it's a little bit hard to take, isn't it? A little bit difficult. Know them that labor among you. And I thought it was, and He said to esteem them highly in love. What does love do? What does love cover? All right. Now you say, well, there shouldn't be sin in the ministry. No, there shouldn't be. But love covers a multitude of mistakes, failures. Isn't that what you want your ministry, those that serve you, isn't that how you want them to minister to you? Under the umbrella of love. It's not saying cover up, but everything that is done is under the umbrella or covered by a tabernacle of love. Well, I want to encourage you, like I'm not talking to ministers now, okay? But I'm saying that as a congregation, as God's people, then we want to accept what comes from the ministry as coming from an umbrella of love. And if I look on them and I don't like this thing about, we were talking after service, and brother, I hope it's okay to share that, because I've been there too. You go to camp meeting and someone gets up and there may be a little thing you don't really like about their personality, or you know they did something that you didn't agree with, or, and pretty soon, well, this one gets up and then someone else gets up and you know, there's a little issue there and someone else gets up and a little issue there. How are we supposed to be fed? The Lord wants us to recognize, again, everybody's human. And there are some things that you may think you understand that I can very clearly tell you this afternoon, you don't understand as much as what you think you might about certain situations. And I just want to say, be very careful about touching God's anointed when you really may not know as much as what you think. I can tell you too many things that has gotten ministers in trouble by the people they're ministering to when the people really didn't know the fullness of what was going on. And I want to caution us, be careful. God will take care of His own. He said to esteem them very highly in love for what? For what reason? For their work's sake. So it doesn't mean then that I necessarily have to just like everything about the personality. Do you like everything about everybody's personality? You probably don't like everything about mine. That's all right. That's okay. But you esteem, he said, not because every minister that preaches to me that I just gravitate to them personally, but he said for their work's sake. For the position that God has put them in, there's a level of obedience and submission and respect that the Lord wants us to have as unto the Lord. For their work's sake. And you will find when you start to give esteem like that, it actually really starts to break down barriers that maybe you'd erected in your mind. And you can actually realize that a lot of times things weren't, they're not quite as bad as what I thought they were. But a lot of times it's stuff going on up in here. The devil tries to do that. You know, it's a two-way street. Again, I told you I'm not talking to the minister. I'll talk to myself. It's a two-way street. The devil, it wants to do everything he can to put a divide between the congregations and the people and the ministry. Who's going to make a difference? I can't change you. So all I can just say, Lord, help me. And what you can say is, Lord, help me. And as we come and operate in our places in the body of Christ, there ought to be a greater unity and greater spirit of love, even in places that I kind of scratch my head and think, how in the world could they do that? Have you ever done that? I have. I don't understand. I don't have to understand it all. But what we need to do is have love and allow the Lord to use us, each one, effectively in the place that He would have us to be. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. Now, over in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we touched on this, but I'd like to read the scripture. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. Doesn't that just make you want to shout and jump over a bench? Obey them that have the rule over you. Don't you wish you had more people trying to tell you what to do? Isn't that so contrary to human nature? Who do you think you are to tell me what to do? You need to fix your own life first. Have you ever heard people express that? Who do you think you are? That you've got a problem, you go take care of that first. Folks, be careful. Again, who is it that placed in the body? The Lord chose whom He wanted. The Lord placed in the body. And so He said to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. And they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You recognize that the ministers of God, and again, I'm speaking of true, Holy Ghost-filled, God-called, Spirit-led ministers of the Lord. All right? He said to obey Him, and He said to submit. Why? For what reason? To lift them up? Absolutely not. Because they're watching for your soul. Jesus is our shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. But He gave pastors. You know what the word pastor means? It means shepherd. I think most pastoring, a lot of pastoring, is done from behind this pulpit. And by that I mean this. Wouldn't you rather hear the truth come forward here and you measure up in your life without the pastor coming and seeing you every week point things out that you need to change? Isn't that right? So then we need to open up our heart and allow the pastor, allow the shepherd to bring things out that we can each one go home, however it touches my life. I've been in services before, and I got something out of it, and someone else said, oh, I was so thankful I got this out of it. And I'm thinking, where did you get that? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He knows how to meet my need, but I have to sit down at the table and eat. So I don't want to sit down and say, oh, they thought I wasn't being healthy, and they thought I needed some broccoli, and they put broccoli on the table. They're preaching by observation. What may be your broccoli may be someone else's, you know, four-layer delight. I don't know. Everybody has different needs, and that's why the Lord sends different messages, different ways that we can all sit down and be fed. But I don't want to go away saying, well, they're preaching at me. That has a carnal bent to it. The ministry, true ministers don't do that, y'all. That sounds a little Oklahoman or Missouri or something. True ministers don't do that. They're there to watch for your souls. But if I'm watching, if the ministry is watching for your soul, that means when there's danger, should they keep quiet? Or should they say, be careful, we're in a dangerous place right here. But if I'm not willing to submit and open myself and I'm being a stranger, how am I going to accept what the Holy Spirit's trying to give? They watch for your souls because there's going to be an account given. That means there's an account given for those messages I told you that the Lord gives. And in the flesh, it's like, no, Lord. Please, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And then when it's given and someone goes away offended, you know, we have to let the Holy Spirit do His job. Have enough respect and honor for those that are praying for you and crying for you and fasting for you, and so desires to see you walk in life and see God's blessing in your life. Don't be part of the problem. Respect and honor for their work's sake. And I believe there's greater blessings the Lord has for us as a people. And He said that they may give account, because see, the ministry is going to give account. The Lord's going to say, I gave you a message. I gave you a message, and they lost their way over here because you didn't give it. And you know, sometimes the Lord has brought something to me, and I guess I didn't feel the fullness of the impact of what the Lord was wanting of me. And then later on, I was like, Lord, why didn't I preach? You were trying to tell me to, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I missed it. And I'm sorry, Lord, because it was needed, and I didn't even know. And it's like, Lord, why? That doesn't even make sense. And all I can say is, Lord, I'm sorry. And then there are times, sometimes, you know, like I'm talking about ministers being human. You believe that, don't you? There are times that a minister can maybe sometimes miss it the other way, too. They can. They can make mistakes. Sometimes something comes out of my mouth, and then I think, wait a minute. I hope they understood. I could see maybe where someone could take that differently. So, you know, that's where we have, if we listen in love, we're going to hear in love. But if we listen, because sometimes, I mean, you know those times you go home, and those of you that teach Sunday school, you ask your wife, you say, yeah, did that come across right? Do you think they got what I was trying to communicate? So that's where if we come in the same spirit and the same love, even if it's a little rough sometimes, or a little tough, or you would do it differently, you're not the one preaching. So have some forgiveness and mercy for the ministry too, okay? Have some, in camp meeting comes and someone gets up and you think, I say camp meeting, maybe you feel like I'm out of it, I miss it. But however you think, you go to meeting and someone gets up and you think, oh, they just missed it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Maybe it just wasn't something that you needed as much. I've been in services like that. And I was like, Lord, they just ruined this service. Is that too straightforward? And someone got some help and I'm thinking, Lord, if it took someone being out of order and someone got some help, then God bless. I'm glad someone got some good. Next time, maybe you'll get some good or I'll get some good. You understand? We need to have a lot of mercy. A lot of understanding. It's not easy. True ministers are not lords over God's heritage. No self-motivation watching for someone's soul, because you know it's a lot easier not to. It's a lot easier not to. It's a lot easier to say, you know what? I've got a full-time job with me. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. If they're going to act like that, if they're going to do that, That's their decision. But that's a carnal perspective. Those that God has called are watching for your soul and their due honor. Esteem them very highly, he said. And what are they supposed to warn about? Potential problems, but I'm going to go a step further. Present problems. Because they're there to be a shepherd. There to guide in a spirit of love. And I want to caution again, I'm speaking generally here. Sometimes people can make the ministry the problem because he's involved with the problems of people. You understand what I'm saying? Because a minister is involved by nature of his call, they are involved with people's problems. And if we're not careful, we can try to make the minister and his wife the problem. And I want to caution us about that because so often I have seen it, that the minister becomes a scapegoat to where the real issue is. Where is the problem? Who is causing the problem? Why is there a problem? And what is a minister supposed to do? Say, I'm not going to get involved in the problem? Oh no, I'm your shepherd, but I'm not going to get involved. God says, you're going to give an account. And when we have to understand a true person of God that loves God with all of their heart is not going to be partial in judgment. Do we get that? A true person of God will not be partial in judgment. Someone comes, all you can do is deal with what you have right there. And you say, well, if they're not helping me, so don't deal with them. Well, maybe you need some help too. You see what I'm saying? There's places, who are we supposed to minister to but those that are willing to sit at the table? And it's something that's important for us, because I remember just recently a pastor came to me and was relating, and he was concerned about what I might hear coming out of his congregation. He was concerned, and I've had people call him. That's another story. Someone called a while back, I'm flipping stories now. Someone called a while back in the congregation and started telling me things about their pastor. Do you know how much credence I gave to it? Thought, okay, this is someone that has an agenda. It's someone that has their own perspective. And whether or not I thought what their pastor did was maybe, I would have thought maybe they could have done a little bit different. I wasn't going to give them credence for that. They needed to go back. And they needed to respect the pastor, and they need to recognize he didn't have any ill motives in what he did. So maybe I wouldn't have done it that way, and maybe you wouldn't have done it that way, but he was honorable in trying to pastor. We need to give that room. We need to give the ministry. Another pastor called me recently, was talking to me, and there were some things going on. I'll tell you something that causes more problems in congregations when there's marriage problems. And there, he was dealing with some of this, and he was concerned about what the other ministers would think if they heard something about what he, you know, I told him, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You do what you needed to do. You did your job. You did what was right. And there's going to be one side of the family that can go out saying something if they want. But you know, we need to have enough respect that this is a person of God. They're not going to be given wrong advice. I remember Brother Tony, he may not even remember this. I remember one time we were in West Virginia and someone in this congregation came and was talking to us. You know, you see someone talking to another visiting minister, you think, what are they talking about? I remember Brother Tony told me later, he said, I knew, and he didn't really know me real well at the time either, but he said, I had enough respect to know that whatever you said, it would be right and that I wasn't going to be undermining, I wasn't going to be. Do you recognize? I want to encourage that kind of respect and room given to the ministry. Don't worry, I told him not, don't worry about what you hear. Even he was worried about people thinking poorly. Because of this, he knew some things in what he had been dealing with that not everybody knew. Even people involved in the family. I want to warn us this afternoon, you may not know everything you think you know. And I know that there are things sometimes we get things in our mind, and because we're human and we think things are a certain way. They said this or they did that or they meant that or they, and I want to say you better be real careful. Esteem them very highly because God was the one that placed. And if you don't want to be ministered to and someone else does, may they be the recipients of the blessings of God. Had someone else disagree with what their pastor was doing. And so they left. They started going to another congregation some of the time. Sometimes they didn't go anywhere. You know what I told them? Go back. Go back. I didn't agree with what the pastor did either. See? Pastors are human. Pastors make mistakes. Go back and submit yourself. Because there's a victory that you're going to find there that you cannot find by voting on your feet. Go back and get victory and fellowship, and then later on down the road, if the Lord gives you that clearance to make changes, then make those changes, but go back. There is victory when that kind of advice is followed. There's victory in that. First Corinthians 9:11. If we have sown unto you in spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? You know what that's speaking of? That's speaking about giving. And that's another difficult subject for a minister to touch on. But I'm thinking of those coming behind me. I'm thinking of those of you that are, you young people. I want you to learn. And I want you to know what the Bible teaches, okay? That's my job as a pastor, so there's no, I have no ulterior motives, but it makes it, that's why you don't hear much about it. People pay for things cheerfully, well, not always cheerfully, but they pay for what's needed to be done. Got a car problem and you need something done, you can't do it yourself, where do you go? Go to the mechanic. You need something done, you just go, you compensate. You need an attorney, you need a mechanic, you need different things. And you don't always want it, but it's like, you know what, it's necessary. So money's part of it. Recognize when Paul was speaking here, he said, if there are those that are sowing in spiritual things, he said, isn't it right if they reap the carnal things? Because the Lord in every ministry is different. And I will say every call is different. There are some ministers that work secular jobs and minister to an extent. There are others that God calls to a full-time ministry of one capacity or another. And I want to qualify and clarify for your comfort, a small congregation cannot fully support a pastor, generally speaking. And that's not what I'm saying here. But a congregation, whether it be small or large, should be doing everything that they can to see that the needs of the minister is met. I've seen, even if there's a funeral or a wedding or someone travels for hundreds of miles, here's a 20. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming and helping out. And they just spent $150 on gas. Well, that's their job. But how do you think the minister got there? How do you think? And sometimes I really don't think people think about that. You know, when there are situations, and I'm not going to go through them all because I don't have an issue with it, but there are a lot of situations ministers and pastors can spend a whole lot more money on things than you might really be aware of. And so he's saying, know them that labor among you. Support them. Be sure those things are taken care of. Be sure. Revival meeting the same way. Someone comes and has revival and said, they were here a week and got $2,000. Wow, I think I ought to go in the ministry. $2,000 in a week, wow. You are paying for a specialty item. You are paying for someone with a divine call from God that had what you needed. And you are also paying, understand, not paying, you are offering freely of love what you had that they might be able to be free from an 8-to-5 job somewhere saying, I'm sorry, I don't have time, I can't come minister. Because I've got to work, I've got to feed my family. So I'm not just paying them per hour that they were here for a revival. We are supporting their general ministry that they would have the opportunity and the time free to be able to go and minister. See, so it's something I think sometimes people don't. I've seen too many places where they put the little offering on the back. I'm not really comfortable. Sometimes it might be good for you to know what your pastor is getting. If you want to know what I'm getting, you just talk to your treasurer. But the point I'm making is when people come up and look at that and they say, wow, he preached 45 minutes and got, pastor looks like he's doing pretty good. Is that a fair statement? Do you know what's gone on behind? I heard someone else a while back say, well, they just get up in just 45 minutes. I don't know what the big deal is. Want to trade places? It might not hurt once in a while. So the point what Paul is saying is that there's a reaping that's going on. There's a sowing that's going on. He said those that are sowing spiritually, be sure that you're keeping up. I believe that it's not only local ministry, missionaries, evangelists, the work of God. I personally believe a first responsibility that a congregation has, gotta keep the lights on. Be sure the pastor is taken care of, and then when there is more than that, help out the mission work, help out the evangelists, help those out. But if it's kind of like a man that's out giving money to people and his wife needs a pair of shoes at home, got a problem with that. Told you before, someone came and gave us something, and I was sitting there thinking, go home and get that to your wife. She needs some shoes. Don't come give me that. But I didn't do it. Maybe I should have. I don't know. But the point is, we need to first take care of business at home. All right? And I'm not, please understand, this isn't easy for me to say, but I'm thinking of future. All right? And I want you young people to know, when you have a pastor and you work a job, you be sure your pastor's taken care of. You be sure that you think, well, he seems to be doing okay. You think your pastor or the ministers among us are going to get up and saying, oh, I can't pay my electric bill this month. Can't make my house pay. Of course not. They're not going to do that. I hope not. I have known some situations that maybe got close to that. But what he's saying is here, don't begrudge the offering to those that minister to us. And when we go, and when the ministers are off and when they're gone, this is just practical advice, and I wish this would be easier for me to preach at camp meeting than here, okay? But I told you if I preach something at camp meeting, I'm not going to preach something different than what I preach here at home, all right? It would be easier not to preach this in my own congregation. But during meeting, your pastor's gone. The minister's gone for a couple weeks. Out of sight, out of mind. Do you recognize that he still has to eat? He's still got an electric bill? He still has expenses at home? Well, it's camp meeting time. Well, he's out at camp meeting, so he's taken care of. Trust me. Trust me. Not always so. Okay? Cost a whole lot more to get there than it did get. You understand? I remember Brother Salmon's talking about had to sell his tools to get home from one place. It's like that sometimes. A true minister of the Lord doesn't begrudge that. It's not about getting money. It's about ministering. It's about serving. But the obligation or responsibility, it's not even an obligation, the responsibility of those that are being ministered to is to step up to the plate and recognize, well, the pastor's gone. He was gone for 3 weeks. Well, he's still got to eat, though. He's still got to pay his bills. So think about those things. Don't forget, because just because they're not there, maybe you go on vacation for a month. Your pastor still has to eat. The missionary on the field has still got to take care of things. Well, they're at Monarch. I remember the first offering I got at Monarch. It has increased since then. But I didn't know whether to be insulted or thankful. I don't mean that bad. I'm just sharing the truth with you. I was a 22-year-old boy. Young man, I remember that first offering that came. And I didn't quite know how to take it. And it was meant well. I know that. I probably would have felt better not to have gotten one. It was in ones too, so it wasn't just one bill. They were in $1 bills to be able to count them. The point I'm making is this. Be considerate. Be thoughtful. Consider, just because I'm gone or they're gone, Paul's saying, isn't it right that they reap your carnal things? The ministry is a labor of love. Esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Pastors, evangelists, lay ministers, missionaries, give regard and respect to the commission and to the place that God has placed them in the body. I am mindful. I had this in my notes and I just skipped over. I'd like to mention it. Allow me to back up just a moment. In the India report, and I've heard this before, You know how long the pastors stay in a congregation in India? Someone see that? 3 years. So they rotate every 3 years. I don't know what y'all think about that. Sometimes it sounds pretty good. In other times I think, what we want is the Holy Spirit to have His way. We want the Holy Spirit to have His way. But see, there's something that starts happening after 3 years. There's something that starts happening. It's called being too, He said to know them, so that's one side of it. But the other side is just starting to have the respect and the regard for the message that God is sending through the messenger. And so that's why they rotate every 3 years. I don't think that's necessarily wise. We want to be led by the Spirit, but whether that means a minister is here for 3 days or a week or a month or 3 years or 7 years, we want the Lord to have His way. And sometimes people would say, well, it takes 3 years to really get to know people. So you're able to minister. You're able to minister if people will allow you to minister. And so that's where the responsibility. Also, there's some things to be said to we pastors, but there's also something to be said to the congregation is be careful that you maintain the esteem and the respect just because you start seeing the pastor's faults too. You start seeing the pastor, he made a mistake there, so can I not esteem him as a man of God anymore? Can I not respect the message? And so there's a balance in all that. But I think it's thought-provoking to start thinking about those practices. We want the Lord to have His way. There's a lot of time and sacrifice. Jesus said a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. It's talking about people, someone that grows up right here in the congregation, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, you know them. You know their faults. You know the things they've done. You know all their background. And the Lord calls them to the ministry. Well, that's just little Johnny over here. Who does he think he is getting up trying to tell me how to live? A call of God. And Johnny's life will prove whether it's just his own doing or whether it's divine. But when you recognize God has His hand on him and given him a call, you start, yes, he's still your brother, still your son, still this, still that. Keep those relations. But at the same time, give regard and respect to the position that he's filling in the Lord and esteem him very highly for his work's sake. And I trust that if there's anything that I've come out wrong out of my mouth or come twisted before it got to your ears, that the Lord would help us this afternoon to understand the import of the message, that we would be open to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us. Lord, help us to esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Amen.